latest edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is with me from Amsterdam this week, right, Colin?
I am in sunny Amsterdam today. I got here yesterday and it was rainy and grey, but today has been beautiful. I'm here for the IBC 2018 conference. This is sort of the European equivalent of NAB. It's a great show. I come every year and lots going on.
Well, next week, on next week's podcast, maybe you'll do a dispatch from Amsterdam and report out on what you learned there.
I would absolutely love to. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about.
Cool. So what we want to get started with this week is revisiting a topic that we talked about a month ago, which at that point, Verizon had teased the market on what its 5G at home launch was going to look like. And then earlier this week, it actually announced its 5G at home launch plan, what is going to be in the package. And we're both pretty darn impressed, right?
We are. It's a really good offer, I think. So why don't you give us the lowdown on the package, and then we'll look at how possible competition is eyeing the market.
Yeah. So again, Verizon is looking at four launch cities, Houston, Indianapolis, Los Angeles, and Sacramento. And as of this morning, this is Thursday we're recording, they said that you can go to First on 5G, a website they've created, where you can register to see if 5G home service will be available in your area, and if it is, to be able to add your name. And then apparently starting on October 1st, activations will begin. Not clear exactly how quickly those activations will begin, but that's what they've said they'll do. But what's, I think, most interesting here, as we were just alluding, is that Verizon is coming into the market with an extremely compelling offer for anyone interested. So if it is indeed available in your area, you sign up, you get 3 months free of the Verizon 5G home service. After that, it's $50 a month with a qualifying wireless plan. No details on what a qualifying wireless plan is at that point. $70 per month if not. Free installation, no equipment charges. They're promising typical network speed of around 300 megabit per second with a peak of almost 1 gigabit per second. They're also including 3 months free of YouTube TV. That's a $40 per month value. And after those 3 months, it goes to $40. And they're also throwing in, if that wasn't enough, they're also throwing in a free Apple TV or a Chromecast Ultra. So basically everything but the kitchen sink, I think, is the Verizon strategy here out of the gate. And also I thought very interesting was that in the press release, to put a pretty fine point on how video-focused Verizon is positioning the new 5G at home service, a Verizon executive named Tammy Irwin, wireless operations leader, said, quote, "You want an opportunity to cut the cord with your cable company? Now you can cut the cord and go cable-free while getting fast, reliable home internet service over the hottest new technology." And as I said in my write-up, I thought that was a pretty clear shot across the bow of cable TV operators who have really dominated the broadband ISP business in the U.S., and who still really have a majority share of multi-channel pay TV. So here's Verizon coming in with effectively what they're saying is a better mousetrap, fast wireless 5G broadband internet service, and combining that with a low-cost virtual MVPD or skinny bundle, the YouTube TV offer. And you put it all together, and it sure seems pretty compelling.
It sure does.
If it works, of course, Colin, if it works.
That is the big caveat. We have not had any fixed wireless applications for 5G big deployments yet. So we aren't, it's not certain that it works as advertised, but certainly in limited deployment, they must have been testing this. So I'm pretty confident it does work in limited deployments. The question is, what happens when you get a bunch of people sign up for it? Will it still be able to provide the bandwidth that they're bandwidth and speed that they're claiming? All I can say, Will, is sign me up. I wish it was in my area, and I definitely give it a try.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just to kind of put things in perspective, we were chatting before. You're paying, what, $50 a month or $70 a month for your broadband?
$69.99 for 50 megabits per second from AT&T UVerse. Which is, I have to say, it's a very reliable service. I've been very happy with it. I usually get my full bandwidth, and it's, as I say, been very reliable. But I got to tell you, the 1 terabit cap really has me careful, being careful about how I use Ultra HD. I run the numbers, and I would eat through my cap pretty quickly if I watched a lot of Ultra HD. And I'm telling you, if I didn't have a cap and I have had speeds like that, I'd probably be watching a lot more Ultra HD than I do today, which actually makes me wonder a little bit about, I wonder if Verizon is prepared for that, because there could be a lot of people driving a lot of bandwidth over those 5G connections, don't you think?
I agree. I mean, it seems like a natural to me if you're all of a sudden told you've got 300 megabit typical and there's no data cap, it's like, ringing the dinner bell, so to speak.
Isn't it? And the Chromecast Ultra, of course, is that's one of the things about that. It supports 4K, and then the Apple TV, the new Apple TV, does as well. So maybe that's exactly what they want people to do.
Yeah, and I agree. In my situation, I pay $75 a month for Xfinity broadband, and I think I get either a 60 or a 75 megabit service. I will say that I've streamed on multiple devices concurrently in my house and really never had an issue, not doing Ultra HD for sure, but doing HD and really haven't had any problems. So, not clear exactly that customers not streaming Ultra HD are going to see the big difference, see the big upside of having 300 megabit. But certainly, it seems like Verizon has a lot of really nice talking points as they go to market for the first time with this 5G service. And it's been a long time coming, as we both know. 5G, a lot of hype around it. Certainly, a lot of hype around the type of applications that 5G will be able to support. Streaming high-quality video is certainly right up at the top of the list, and Verizon seems to really be capitalizing on that, positioning the 5G home service very much as video-focused. So then the question turns to, what are the implications of this? And that's where you're going to jump in a little bit and talk about the potential impact on existing broadband providers and the broader pay TV market.
Indeed. The interesting thing, well, actually, I'm moderating a panel tomorrow, a discussion, and one of the subjects is 5G, and we're going to be looking at some of the hype and some of the things that it could actually do. So maybe that'll come up next week in my summary of what's going on here. But as you say, I think this is going to have a substantial impact if 5G performs as advertised, as the wireless providers are claiming. It's going to have a substantial impact on existing operators, not least of which, because this is, in effect, this is a double play bundle, which includes a pretty decent pay TV package, i.e., YouTube TV, coupled with high bandwidth broadband for $70 if you don't have that wireless plan. And in markets like Indianapolis and Houston, for example, they're going to be head to head with Comcast. And it's pretty interesting because Brian Roberts was speaking at the Goldman Sachs Communique conference, excuse me, Communicopia conference this week in New York. And he had quite a lot of interesting things to say about the way he is positioning and thinking about his services. The first thing he said, I think, that really jumped out at me was that video is now playing a subordinate role, a supporting role in the company, and that broadband is the much more important service now in that business. So that's certainly very interesting. And he went on to actually say that Comcast is really now focused on keeping the high-paying customers, in other words, maintaining a very profitable service, and was quick to cast aspersions on not really being interested in doing unprofitable businesses like virtual MVPDs and like YouTube TV. So that was sort of the first thing. And the second thing he said was that they're really repositioning how they're approaching their broadband. He talked about broadband 2.0, and that what he really wanted to focus the business around was in coverage, broadening coverage, particularly in Wi-Fi hotspots, and in manageability to make the service more manageable. So I that's interesting positioning. And when you think about that in the context of the emerging competition from folks like Verizon, let's not forget AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile are hard on Verizon's heels here, where I would expect them to launch similar packages. So when you think about Comcast's positioning, at least according to Mr. Roberts, versus what Verizon is offering, boy, it seems like a kind of tough sell. I think, certainly from the broadband perspective, that customers don't buy based on the broadness of the coverage for Wi-Fi and on manageability. They still buy on speed and price. And I gotta say, that's a, speed and price is pretty impressive from our friends at Verizon with this new offering. And the second thing is that obviously he seems to be most interested in maintaining profitability of his video service, which has been eroding just like every other pay TV operator because of increasing prices for content. And I have a feeling that that's going to be kind of tough to do in those markets where you basically have a virtual MVPD, which is selling for at cost or less. They're prepared to take a loss. So I don't know. What do you think about the competitiveness of what Comcast is saying in Indianapolis and Houston if 5G performs as we expect it will?
Right. Well, we both know, and we've certainly talked about on the podcast how the vMVPDs or the skinny bundles have created this incentive for multi-channel subscribers, traditional multi-channel subscribers, to shift. If you can get most of the channels that you're really interested in, the broadcasters, your key cable networks, et cetera, as part of a skinny bundle package that maybe runs you $40 a month, why would you spend $80 a month? And that's before the user interface benefits and, mobile device portability, everything else. So we know that that trend has already been alive and well. The new ingredient here, as you're pointing out, of course, is the idea that a telco would match their 5G service, their mobile wireless service, broadband service, with these skinny bundles to create this whole new level of value, whole new value proposition to the consumer. And I agree with you. I think that combination, 5G plus skinny bundle, is a pretty compelling proposition to the end customer, especially as you say, if you're looking at it on a price basis. I think also if you're looking at it on a performance basis, it certainly has to be. I would just add to your, list of criteria that consumers use. I do think that reliability and quality are very important to most people, and they're not going to take a step back on those measures just to save some money or to have a little bit of flexibility. But if the service, the 5G and the skinny bundle, is as reliable and quality as good as the traditional ways of getting broadband and pay TV, then yeah, I agree. I think that combination is pretty strong. And you talk about Comcast, it's not just Comcast, it's all the traditional multi-channel providers and broadband providers that could be sailing into a whole new world here. And I can say that, as one of the guys that helped lead a major cable company into the broadband era 20 plus years ago, we had a better mousetrap back then, and still really, for all intents and purposes, do. Cable broadband's proposition was higher speed and always on. And that beat the pants off of dial-up modems. You remember the phone modems, of course, and the crazy sounds, the annoying sounds you would hear as they connected. And it beat the pants off of DSL. And cable has really feasted off of the DSL, the remaining DSL lines that, of course, dwindled over the years. They feasted on that population over these past 20 years to build this dominant position. And now we find ourselves at a point in time where telco may finally have a better mousetrap, a mousetrap that can compete effectively with cable broadband. And so we've, in a sense, I think, kind of come full circle here, Colin, and Verizon's willingness and certainly AT&T's willingness coming up soon to combine wireless 5G with skinny bundles is, I think, a whole new opens up a whole new era here.
It certainly does. The interesting, I mean, it's just interesting to look at where Verizon is and YouTube TV is. It's a great pairing on this 5G service. And the reason is that both companies, both Verizon and a friend at YouTube, are looking to grow subscribers and are prepared to put profits on the back burner as long as they can grow their subscribers. So they're prepared to sell things at cost or low cost to low profit margins to garner market share. And Comcast and other cable companies, of course, are well established. They have a great, reliable product in cable broadband that really performs very, very well. And they're used to high profit margins on that service, and they're also used to making profit on their pay TV services. They're being confronted now with a buy competitor that is willing to sell at very, very cut prices for market share. And that is really difficult to compete with. I think one of the only things that they can do, assuming everything works the way the Verizon and the other wireless providers say it will with 5G, the only thing they can do is to cut prices. And that means lower profit margins. And that means maybe less happy investors along the way. So things could get really choppy for Comcast and for other cable companies in the coming months and years. I do want to hedge a little bit here, and let's be realistic. Verizon is only rolling out in 4 cities. It is expensive to roll out across multiple cities. There's a lot of micro sites that they have to put in. The density of cell sites is much higher for 5G than it is for 4G. So it is quite costly to put this in. But that does mean that it will be slower rollout, I think, than a lot of people would like, but probably faster than the cable providers would like. But I've got to say that one of the things that cable has done, I think, really effectively is they've rolled out ultra-fast broadband on their fabric using technologies like DOCSIS 3.1 that effectively stopped the deployment of fiber in its tracks, because fiber is incredibly expensive to put in. But, you know, people like Verizon and AT&T pretty much stopped new deployments because, frankly, it was just so expensive. And with DOCSIS 3.1 going in everywhere, they were really a me too product. So now we have 5G, much more cost effective to deploy than certainly new wires in the ground and new fiber in the ground. It's a whole new ball game. So
yeah, and Colin, I would just add to your point about sort of what the rollout is going to look like. There's no question 5G deployment is an arduous business. A lot of cell sites need to be built out, et cetera. It's costly. I think what we've seen already is the telcos basically tipping their hand that this is going to be an urban-centric rollout for the, you know, any for the near horizon, at least. I mean, no, this is not coming to rural America anytime soon in any sort of major way. But I do think that we could be sitting here a year from now, and there could be quite a few metro areas between the four, assume three, major telcos that have some degree of 5G deployment. And people starting to get a real taste of what the 5G lifestyle looks like. And that, again, could be pretty enticing. And I think, as we're saying, kind of circles back to how the competitive dynamics in both the broadband market and also the pay TV market, depending on these partnerships like we're seeing now with Verizon and YouTube TV, how these markets could look quite different a year from now than they do today.
I think you're certainly right there. Although couple of things that I would note. The first thing is that certainly small town America, running a single fiber out to a small town and then covering it with 5G microsites is a lot cheaper than running fiber to all of those homes. So I do think that there's a substantial chance that 5G will make a big impact in rural towns. Of course, reaching farms and whatnot is a completely different kettle of fish. But that's one thing that I will say. I also say that I actually think, bearing in mind where Comcast is today with its broadband, that the positioning that Brian Roberts is making vis-a-vis making it more reliable and improving connectivity through Wi-Fi. I think that's a pretty reasonable position. They do have fast enough broadband now, so I think what he's doing, what he's saying, is pretty reasonable, bearing in mind the position he's in. But the truth is that that's a position where they really haven't had realistic competition since they beat the pants off DSL. And now this could be the first realistic competition that they've seen. So be interesting to see what happens when it fully rolls out, and what happens in those markets where it hits.
Yeah, and in that Q2 earnings release from Comcast, Brian Roberts was very emphatic about the importance of, as he put it, the connectivity strategy that the company is pursuing now. They had that blip up in broadband subscriber additions in Q2, which was kind of came a little bit out of left field. We want to see how that number holds up in Q3, and then thereafter, again, as the 5G rollouts occur. How durable that broadband subscription, that broad those broadband additions really do turn out to be. So lots of moving pieces here, Colin. Pretty interesting times we're going into.
I love it, and I can tell you that already there's a buzz at IBC about a lot of issues. There's a lot of talk about things like AI, blockchain, 5G, some of the things that I'm hearing people talk about, be very interested about, content creation in the cloud, lots and lots of stuff that I think we should be excited to think about and maybe talk about next week. So we'll see what happens.
All right, well, enjoy your time at IBC, Colin. Travel home safely. We'll talk again next week. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.